Anyway, Psalm number 27. I'll try not to hold you too long tonight. We'll give you the thought. Amen. The Lord laid on our heart. Praise God. The thing about the book of Psalms is you can read it. As I read this tonight, I want you to see if you see yourself in this, or if there's any part of this passage that applies to you, or if it speaks to you. And I'm simply going to preach on this thought tonight. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. You know, somebody said years ago, good things come to those who wait. That's not really a Bible verse, but it is true. And if you'll just wait and be patient, God will show up and He'll deliver just like He always has and like He always said He would. The Bible said here in number 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, and my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When Thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto Thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not Thy face far from me. Put not Thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. You think about that right there, people. He said, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. He'll never leave you. Your mother and your father may even abandon you in this society we live in. But thank God there's a God in heaven that'll never leave you. He said, teach me Thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine iniquities. Deliver me not over to the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. Now listen to this. I had fainted. I had fainted over what He's saying here. I was close to passing out. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And He sums it all up by saying, wait on the Lord. All this He said, and all this trouble and turmoil, and a man that was at the bottom, He said, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And the Bible said, one of our favorite passages we've heard, and you see a lot of little signs on the wall, little plaques, that say, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Everybody knows that's Isaiah 40:31. But there's something to be said for waiting on the Lord. Now listen, I want to say up front here, I'm not pointing my finger at you tonight, as much as I'm pointing the finger this way. To be honest with you, brother, that's not my strong suit. Patience and waiting is not, I'm just not known for that. I'm not good at it. Amen? I confess my sin to you. Our problem is we live in a modern, ultra-fast, warped speed society. Everything's fast. We got high-speed internet, and if it don't happen, as soon as you click your mouse on it, you get mad and start cussing and want to take your shotgun and blow the computer up. Ain't that the truth? I mean, we're that way in the car. We get in the car, and we want to go down the road, and if our rear end's not warming up, we want to hit a button that warms it up. Turn your seat warmer on. I mean, push a button in the house, have the car crank, and waiting on you because we have no patience. We have no weight in us whatsoever. But this Bible said that we should wait on the Lord. I mean, brother, you'll just wait and hold out and hold on and trust God. Brother, help is on the way. Amen. God will move when God's ready. I tell you, it takes a lifetime to learn that. I wish I could have learned that when I was 20 years old or 21 or 22. Or 23, or even 30, or 35, that God is not on a time clock like me and you. And brother, He'll move when He gets ready. And brother, if He ain't ready to move, He ain't going to move. You can name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. You can say anything you want to. But until God gets ready to move, He ain't going to do it.
We pray a little prayer and expect a miracle right now. I mean, we don't pray 10 minutes a week, and brother, a crisis come up in our life, and we expect to pray a little prayer, and I mean, almost like a Hail Mary, and expect God to do great, mighty, wondrous things. But brother, there's a verse in the Bible that said, watch and pray. Brother, that means we're to be patient. That means we're to be continual in prayer. That means we're to be patient in prayer. Believe God, trust God, and keep praying. And if it don't happen, just keep on praying and keep waiting on the Lord.
God don't move when we say move and we act like we're ready to quit. And God don't do what we want Him to. And we we don't really want to put anything into it. And then we expect God, we expect to send up a poly want a cracker prayer and God to put it in the microwave and give us a miracle. We ain't done nothing for God. Brother, it just don't work that way. I'm telling you tonight, brother, we need to wait on the Lord. I mean, brother, we live in a wicked society and everything's just going like it's going and it's going fast and it's quick and brother, things are turning fast. But I want to tell you, brother, old-fashioned waiting on God and praying is still the way to get things done. I want to tell you're going to have to learn, you young people. We're going to have camp next week. That's one thing you need to learn early in life. Just wait on the Lord. Just wait. I don't know how many times I've told my kids, just be patient. Wait on God. Don't rush into anything. Don't marry the first girl that flutters her eyelids. Hey, don't date the first boy that comes along and says, hey, you be way patient. Just wait on God. Wait on God. Wait on God. And He'll deliver in His time. Point number one is wait on His time. He has time for all things. I know our boys, the two of our boys is, I'll just say this illustration. That's all people can talk about because I know them. But they're, one of them's getting ready to get married, getting ready to go in the dark curse of marital bliss here pretty soon. Miss Jessica's got a ball and chain already, getting ready to put it around Ronnie's ankle. No, I'm kidding. I think he got a good one. I think he got the one God had waiting on him. All these years has come and gone. Listen, I was thinking about that the other day, and I told him one time, that, you know, told me one day, he said, Daddy, he said, Daddy, there ain't no good women left. I said, you're right, there ain't none. There ain't no good, godly, Christian girls that love God. That's just waiting for the right man. I mean, there's very few, and girls, there's not a whole lot of boys either, that loves God and wants God's will in his life and wants a good Christian girl. Y'all know what most boys want, don't you? Don't make me say it. But anyway, I remember telling him, I said, son, just wait on the Lord somewhere down the road. Somewhere down the road when you least expect it, God, there's somebody somewhere that God's preparing and she's just like you and she's wondering, where's that man of my dreams? She's probably still wondering that. Where's that man of my dreams? Where's that knight in shining armor? Where's that wonderful man that God that'll suit me and just fit me and will just be like a glove? Oh, brother, you'll just wait on God. Wait on His time. He has a time for all things. And if you'll be patient and wait, God will do what He said He would. Amen. He has a time to bless, a time to give, a time to chastise, a time to help, a time to heal. People tithe for 2 weeks, expect God to make their bank account run over. No patience. You got to try it a while. I always tell people, tithe consistently for a while. Try it. I'm not talking about just for a week. Them jokers on TV is a bunch of they're professional liars. They lie for a living. You understand that, don't you? I mean, they plant your seed faith. What that interprets is, send me your money and you'll get rich. Well, he's a stinking liar. That ain't true. If you'll pay your tithes and do it on a regular basis consistently and then add an offering on top of that. Not what you already owe God. Just something you want to give Him because you love Him. You keep that up for 6 months. You keep it up for a year. Keep it up for 2 years. Keep it up for 5 years. 10 years, you'll look back and you'll say, my God, how in the world have we done all this? How in the world have we get where we're at? It's because the blessings of God will be on you. But you got to wait on God. It don't happen instant, just like you want it to. I read about a man over in the Bible, Genesis chapter 6. I won't go into the whole story. You heard about Noah, hadn't you? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We used to talk about the patience of Job, and Job did have a lot of patience. But think about the patience of Noah. I mean, here's a man that God said, build a boat. And he said, okay. He didn't say, what for, Lord? There ain't no water around here. Lord said, build a boat. I'm going to make it rain. He said, yes, sir, Lord. And so he started getting some lumber together and some nails and some caulking and all that stuff. And he started putting it together and running the skill saw and a chop saw.
and started running this tape measure out there, had a scaffolding up, and people walking by, them preachers would do anything to draw a crowd. And the Bible said the most amazing part about this story is God said, Noah, build that ark. He told his three boys, the boys were building the boat. They said, okay, Dad. And they did. They helped him. And they worked on that thing for 120 years. Not for a year, not 2 years, not 5 years, 120 years. And all the while that Noah was building that ark, he was preaching, repent, repent, repent. Judgment's about to fall. And people laughed at him just like they're doing today. But I want to tell you, brother, if you wait on God, things will happen in His time.
Noah's wife might have said, honey, when's this boat ever going to be done?
Oh, it won't be long, honey. Just another 80 or 85 years. You imagine talking to a man like that. How long did it take you to build this? Well, this first structure over here, this first wall, this outside wall took us 75 years, and then this other wall took us 15 more. We finally got the hang of it. Can you imagine talking to a man like that? Oh, by the way, the Titanic was built by professionals, and the ark was built by an amateur. You know the end of both those stories? The ark's the greatest boat's ever been built. It's still over yonder in the mountains in Turkey, and the Titanic went down the first night out. Now listen to this. Genesis chapter 7, God said, all right, Noah, come in the ark. And it took 7 days to load the animals. A lot of people preach that they went in the ark and sat there 7 days, but that ain't what it said. The Bible said He told them to come in, they began to load them animals. It took a little bit of time. They're going to count them as they're riding along. Had them over there. Oh, there's two donkeys. There's two horses. What is that, honey? It's a platypus. Two platypuses. There's two ostriches, two turkeys. Not counting your wife. I mean, two turkeys. And there's two chickens, two ducks, and all that. I don't know why they didn't kill off them two mosquitoes, Brother William, while they had a chance. But anyway, and they loaded that thing up in 40 days and 40 nights it rained. And then after the rain was over, according to what the Bible says, that thing floated on top of the water for another 5 months. Just out there doing this. You got your sea legs? Nothing. Sun come up, sun went down. Every night and every day for about 5 months. They was in that ark for approximately, the best I can figure it, just a little over a year. A little over a year from the time they went in and closed it. Can you imagine the patience of that man? Can you imagine those? Can you imagine being shut up in the ark with all them animals? All that going on. Plus, you got your wife and three daughter-in-laws. Nagging. Honey, where are you going to stop this boat? I want to go to Walmart. He said, if you'll shut up, I'll give you a Walmart. Matter of fact, when Noah got off the boat, he went and planted a vineyard and got drunk. Anybody been in the building for 120 years deserves to get drunk. I've been in one time for 2 years and I was ready to get drunk. Man, you might have to get drunk, just make it through it. But they might have said, honey, when we... And the Bible said that when the ark landed, they still didn't go out. They still didn't go out. Honey, she said, baby doll, we've landed. I can see the sun through that upper window. He said, nope, we're not going out yet. And he took that raven, turned that raven loose. It didn't come back. It went and landed on some old dead carcass. He turned that dove loose. That dove came back, said, ain't nowhere to land. He said, okay, we're going to wait another 7 days. And they waited a little while longer, And brother, listen, and finally, you know what happened over there that God spoke to him in Genesis chapter 8? And they'd been sitting on dry ground. And God said, okay, it's time to come out. Can you imagine the patience it took to sit in that ark after it landed on dry ground? And seeing birds fly over top of that window and all that, and seeing that raven go back and forth, and seeing that dove flying around and come back. And he came back with the olive leaf one time, so they knew that the waters were abated. God will do what He needs to do with His time. Wait on the Lord. Children of Israel wouldn't wait. They said, give us a king. Give us a king. We want a king. God said, I've got you a king. Just wait. We want a king now. He said, okay, take Saul. Anoint him king. And they did. And you know what a disaster that turned out to be, don't you? I like what that old preacher preached that time. You got what you wanted, but you lost what you had. Brother, that'll preach right there. I mean, brother, if you beg for God, God for it long and hard enough, He'll give it to you just to shut you up, just because you want it. It may not be His will, but I'll tell you one thing, you might wish you didn't get it. Every married man in here knows what I'm talking about. Another good example over in Genesis chapter 12. God said, Abraham said, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to give you a son. Abraham said, Lord, I'm 75 years old. I'm 75.
what he didn't know was God's going to make him wait another 25 years. Approximately, about 24. He is 99 when Isaac was born. Think about it. He's like, what are you talking about? I'm 75. The Lord's like, that ain't nothing. You're going to have to get even older before I'm going to let you have him. Amen. And the Bible said, and God told us, I'm going to give you a seed, give you a son. In Genesis 15, God confirmed it. And then Genesis 16, Abraham got impatient. He's walking the floor. I'm getting older and older, and my wife's getting older. I want a son. Abraham, and Sarah said, Abraham, darling, go sleep with my handmaiden and you can have your son. And being the husband he was, he said, okay. You thought about that. Why didn't Abraham say, now, honey, that wouldn't be right? But he didn't. You say, well, what's so bad about it? Well, read it. Go on, read it. That's where Ishmael came from. That's where the Arab nations come from. And God said he'll be a wild man, and he has been a wild man ever since. All his descendants has been wild and crazy as a bat. That's why they kill each other and kill others and hate people for no reason. George Miller was a great man, and back in the 1700s, he said, I'm going to pray for five friends. He had five friends. He said, I'm going to pray for them until they get saved. After many, many months went by, one of them got saved. 10 years later, two others got saved. That's three of them. It took 25 years before the fourth one got saved. And Miller kept praying and praying and praying until he died. And for 52 years, he never gave up hope. And soon after he died and they buried him and put him in the ground, number five got saved. He said, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray. And he did, but it took a while. Like I said earlier, our problem is we just want it, bam, happen right now, but it just don't happen that way. You can go home and read about Gideon in the book of Judges, chapter 7, where God said, he said, Gideon, I want you to go down there and fight them. I believe it's the Midianites. And Gideon said, all right, we're ready. Lord said, wait a minute, you got too many. Thin them out. All of you, it's chicken, lily-livered, sissies, go home. And I forget how many it was. I just read it today. That's how bad my memory is. It's about 20,000 of them took off. I said, okay. All you chickens, lion heart, liver, lily, yellow back, stripe up your back, chicken sissy, lace drawer wearing, don't want to fight, go home. They said, okay. And a bunch of them took off and Gideon's left with a handful. God said, that's still too many. He went down there. God said, tell them to go down there and drink some water. And they all started drinking water. And God said, the ones that drink from their hand, keep them. And the ones that stick their face down to the water like a dog, get rid of them and send them home. And a whole other slew of them went home. Gideon's down to 300 men. And you know what? The Bible says when they went and fought the Midianites, there were so many of them, it looked like grasshoppers down in the valley. But guess who won? God's people. Wait for God. Wait on the Lord. Wait for His time. A preacher told me one time, I went to this preacher's church one Sunday night years ago, and I don't even know the guy. I just went and preached for him one Sunday night. Boy, his church was booming, and it was just popping around that place. It was going. I said, brother, I said, praise God. I said, y'all really got something going on here. He said, brother, I said, how long you been here? And he told me. He said, but you know something? He said, we went for 9 years. Nothing ever happened. Hardly ever anybody got saved. And he said, all of a sudden, it's like that. Heaven came down. He said, it's been like that ever since. I asked Brother Todd here a few weeks back. I said, by the way, how's that preacher up yonder? And I told him who it was. He said, oh, yeah, they're doing real good. I said, how's this church doing? He said, they run about 350, 400 people. They wouldn't run about 70, 80 when I preached up there 15, 20 years ago. You see what I'm saying? You've got to be patient. God works in His time. Number two, we've got to wait for His time. Secondly, we've got to wait for His power. The disciples were instructed. Jesus said in Luke 24, He said, I'll send the promise of my Father, but you tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Brother, listen, power will get you everything. I mean, brother, everything you do. Brother, what soul winning or preaching, going to the mission field, getting up here in this choir and singing. Brother, you'll get the power of God on you by prayer and waiting on the Lord. And there's nothing like it, brother. You can tell. I mean, you can tell if a man's got a lot of knowledge and ain't got no spirit. You can tell if somebody's singing, if they hit all the right notes and they make all the hand gestures. But you can tell when some old granny gets up there and she snaggles through and she starts singing and looking up yonder into another world and you feel a hair on the back of your neck stand up. Thank God, that's the power of God. You got to wait on that. It'll renew your strength. If you wait, I heard this. You're going to think I'm crazy. Listen to this. If you'll be patient and wait. They was talking about bats. About how patient a bat is. You know, some of these animals are so patient. Like a snake. You can throw a mouse down the snake in a snake pit or in a little aquarium thing where you got a snake. And he'll lay there and look at that mouse for a long time until he just decides to grab him. Patience. Christians ain't like that. I heard about these bats. They said a bat can slow his heart rate from 180 beats a minute to 3 beats a minute. Just wait. That's like bears when they hibernate. They just almost die. Their heart rate stops. The respiratory just slows down. They just go lay in a cave for 3 months and don't do nothing but sleep. Christian people ought to learn to be patient and wait on the Lord. Just wait, wait, wait. A man was facing execution one time, and he said, if I'm permitted just 1 year, if I'm permitted to live in 1 year, I'll teach the king's horse how to fly. The king heard about it, and he said, okay, and he let him out. Give him a year. Somebody said, you can't teach a horse how to fly? So why'd you do that? He said, well, I got a year of freedom. And secondly, who knows? Maybe he will fly. I like that attitude, don't you? Who knows? I mean, ain't no horse ever flew yet. Maybe he's the man that invented Pegasus. We don't know. But listen, probably in that year's time he is executed, but at least he got another year. Amen. Number three, I'll say wait on His direction. Wait on the Lord to direct you. The Bible said He'd lead us and guide us and direct us. Wait for the Lord to tell you which direction to go. Everything that looks rosy ain't rosy. Everything glitters ain't gold. You know the story. I don't even have to go into the whole story. But you remember the story of Lot and Abraham. Abraham said, "The land, we're too great for this land." He said, "Lord, I'll tell you what, I'll let you choose which way you want to go, and I'll take whatever's left." That was a good, gracious attitude, wasn't it? And Lot looked down toward the well-watered plains of Sodom, and he said, "Boy, that sure looks good. I mean, there's a whole lot more to do down there. There's some places to go shopping, nice restaurants. I mean, we can go to the movies, the bowling alley's down on the corner. It's just a better place, and people are nicer. That's where I want to go." But you know the end of the story, though. His story ended and him being up in a cave committing incest with his daughters, and his wife turned into a salt lick out in the desert. Everything looks good, ain't good. You better wait on the Lord's direction. And number four, I say this, and I'm going to close. We need to wait on the Lord's Word to be fulfilled. Wait on His Word to be fulfilled. We living in a day and time now where we're seeing it fulfilled daily. God made you a promise. He'll keep it. But you got to wait. Lord, when? Lord, when? Just wait. It'll come. You know what makes me think of, Brother Sam, makes me think of when I was a kid. I'm like that now sometimes, but when I was a kid, I remember as soon as Christmas was over, Brother Heath, about the first of the year, I'd start thinking, gosh, it's only 360-some days to Christmas. You know, January, February. About this time of year, I'd think, gosh, Christmas right around the corner. Seemed like it'd never come. Take forever. That seemed like 50. Why don't they have Christmas 3 times a year? Now I'm an adult, I'm like, good Lord, why don't they outlaw it? All together. Man, it's crazy. It's commercialized. It costs you so much. I mean, it's just like soon as you get over this one, another one comes back. Ain't that right? I mean, life's going by so fast, brother. I mean, it's a whizzing by. Like you've heard me say it, like you're on a ride at the fair. It's going by so fast you can't even see it. But you know what my point is? You just keep waiting, keep waiting. Sure enough, Christmas finally does come again. I remember I used to think when I was a kid, the saddest day of the year was Mondays, because you had to go back to school. And the day that school started back, or when Christmas was over, was the day after Christmas, December 26th. Ain't that awful? Oh, I mean, just waking up Christmas, day after Christmas, like, it's all over. What? You get up and look at your presents, you know, and all that stuff, and the neighbor's kids stole your bicycle, and oh, you know what I mean. And then you know you got to go back to school in a few more days, and but listen, here's my point. What is your point? This is my point. If you'll just wait and be patient, it will happen. It will. I know when you're young, it seems like it never will. Like I said, it seems like life is going by. I remember when I was just a young teenager, I'd go to work. I never have liked them jobs where you're working somewhere on an assembly line, you're just looking at a clock in front of you. That drives me crazy. I still can't stand it. I still couldn't. I'd stand there and work, you know, working in furniture factories, and then that furniture come by, and this guy up here, he did something, and this guy did something, and this guy sanded it, and this guy sprayed it, and this guy wiped it off, and this woman, she put glaze on it, and then you took steel wool and rubbed it, and the next guy did this. It was just assembly line, just like cars, but it's furniture. And that guy down there put a box on it, and the next guy flipped it over and stapled it shut and threw it out there, and the next guy took a forklift. It was like that all day long, every day. I remember going into work at 7 o'clock, and it seemed like 9 o'clock break time was eternity. It ain't never going to come. I ain't never going to get that sausage biscuit. It's like this. And you know how a watch clock is. It don't
How do you think it feels to get up here and preach and that clock back on the wall? Y'all remember that Sunday I was preaching on time stopping and it quit? The clock actually said, gosh, I've been preaching an hour and a half, feels like. I got to hold on and preach till lunchtime or I'll spoil them. They'll always want that. And then I realize the clock had quit and it's 3:30. No kidding. But my point is, when you're young, how many knows what I'm talking about, you older people? When you're young, it just creeps by, don't it? That clock never turns. When you get my age, brother, 45, 50, I'm 50, a little over 50 now, it's like it's going like this. That clock's going like that. Faster. You know why? If you take a wheel and spin it, the outer part and the inner part moving on the same wheel, but that inner part is going faster. It's inside there close to the hub. And the reason it's moving so fast, you're getting closer to your appointment down at the cemetery, and your life's going by like this instead of like this. You follow me? When you're a kid, it's going like this. I'll never get to be 18 and drive a car and have a job. Don't worry, you'll have plenty of that. You'll spend your whole life running to soccer games and baseball games and going to church, going to school, just out, spend your life driving. You'll get sick of it. I promise. Amen. Just ride in the back seat and sleep and enjoy it. But then when you get older, it's like, honestly, I can't believe that half this year's gone. Can you believe that? Half this year's gone. I remember Y2K like it's last week. Bam, 10 years done gone. It's going quick, buddy. Wait on the Lord. Let's stand tonight.